I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. The Iditarod sled dog race is happening now. On Tuesday, 57-year-old Mitch Seavey became the oldest champion in the race, and he did it by setting an Iditarod speed record of 8 days, 3 hours, 40 minutes. Debbie Clark Motoro is author of Fast Into the Night, A Woman, Her Dogs, and Their Journey North on the Iditarod Trail. She takes us into the Alaska wilderness. For a sport that's measured in seconds, this takes almost 2 weeks to complete.
That's right. It's a long haul.
Now, it begins where and ends where?
The traditional Iditarod sled dog race trail begins in Willow, Alaska, and it ends in Nome, Alaska, which is on the Bering Sea coast. For 1,000 miles, typically the first half of the race is the most technical because you go over the Alaska Range, follow the Yukon River for several hundred miles, and then you follow the Bering Sea coast in the end.
How do you follow this trail? Is it marked? Do you have a map? How do you find your way?
You find your way through watching out for trail markers. The race every year puts up thousands of trail markers. They look like garden stakes. The very top of them are painted orange, and they have reflector tape attached to them. So they shine in the dark in the beam of your headlamp, and theoretically you can see them clearly in daylight. That's assuming good weather.
And how many dogs are taking you through this journey?
You start Iditarod in this day and age with 16 dogs, no more than 16. I would say almost everyone starts with 16.
You say starts. Now, what happens along the way?
What happens along the way is you pass through 22 checkpoints, and you are greeted with veterinarians at each checkpoint to help you evaluate your dogs, answer any questions. They go over the dogs at every checkpoint, and if you have a dog that isn't thriving out there, you don't want to put the dog through anymore. That's not the point. And so you leave the dog in the care of veterinarians. They're sent home to your kennel, and you proceed with one dog less.
Now, it is quite a long way for these dogs to go. They're carrying you, a sled, and equipment, correct?
That's right. But you'd be interested to know it's really not about brawn. It's not like, say, a weight pull event where you see dogs really, really pulling hard. It is much more a game of momentum. Think human marathon and hitting a pace that you can sustain. The dogs are incredible athletes.
This really requires a very good relationship between you and the dogs and your ability to monitor their performance, knowing how fast you can push them or how far you can push them and what their condition is.
Absolutely. The only game mushers are playing out there is the game of interacting with their dogs and enabling them to do the best they can. That's what it's all about. And, of course, with 16 beating hearts come 16 different personalities, and the dynamic dog-to-dog and dog-to-musher is full of multiple dimensions.
So you're taking care of a family in this journey, essentially.
Absolutely. You're taking care of a family, and the family's reading you and taking care of you. You're absolutely bound to one another as you move down that trail.
It's about 5 miles from here up to the very top where we drop over into the Dalzell Gorge. Dogs are doing awesome. It's almost scary how fast they're going, and it worries me.
How many competitors typically are there in any given year?
Generally between 50 and 90, I would say.
And how many actually finish?
It all depends on the year. It really does. It depends on the trail conditions, what training conditions have been like. It varies considerably.
Now, you have run this twice, correct?
I have. I did not quite make it to the finish line the first time.
What kept you from making it to the end?
What kept me from making it to the end had to do with a variety of factors. The way it played out was that my dog team and I reached the Bering Sea coast, and we proceeded out on the sea ice. There's a 40-mile leg between Shaktulik and Koyuk. These are villages separated by a body of salt water. And it was very, very windy, whiteout conditions, and my dogs lost their nerve to go into that landscape. I only run with positive reinforcement. I have a very happy, respectful bond with these dogs, and the thought that they would refuse to continue down any trail was staggering to me in disappointment, and it was my broken connection with the dogs that definitely haunted me afterwards. That's about the worst thing that could happen to me out there.
I imagine that was a good learning experience for the second time.
It was. It's a tricky business to go that far with another species through wilderness like this, and I learned so much by having to go back and try again. I took the same dogs with me. The same dogs were intimidated by the sea ice again, and the second time we worked through it.
Does the amount of daylight really impact this?
Oh, no, you don't worry about whether it's light or dark. You worry more about temperature. In a really hot, sunny day, the dogs would much prefer to rest, and they rest more comfortably on a hot day. They really prefer the colder temperatures. So actually, in both my races, heat was more of a problem than cold, so you end up running a fair amount during the night.
Your book, Fast Into the Night, goes into many of these facets, but of course one of the more interesting components is the fact that you're a woman competing in this. How many female competitors are there in the Iditarod?
There are way, way fewer women than men, but I'm asked this all the time, and truly I just consider myself a musher. It happens that I'm female, but I consider my peers out there real equals, whether they're male or female, and I think that's very common.
What is it like for you personally to be out there? I guess there are periods of time where you're essentially alone with your dogs.
But you see, right away, there's a contradiction, because alone with your dogs means that you're really with your best traveling friends. There's not a musher that goes into Iditarod that doesn't just relish leaving the crowds behind, being off on the trail on their own. It is the farthest thing from lonely. It is so wonderful to have the rest of life stripped away, and your entire focus is on those beating hearts out in front of you. I ran it because it was the ultimate journey to go on with my dogs.
It is a fascinating story and an event that we know happens, but for most of us, we don't really have an insight into it, and you've provided that for us. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week. Or play anytime on VOANews.com.